By listening to this audio, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions found on drmackenziebrooks.com.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Chapter 8 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, Women's Wicked Quickening, A Call to Action, brought to you by drmackenziebrooks.com, your source for continuous development and lifelong learning. Each of the 13 Cherry Pits for Our Minds has been handpicked by me from the many thousands of hours of conversational journeys that I have had and continue to have with the most incredible women as their coach, counselor, and workshop facilitator. I chose the name Web Workshop intentionally. During each chapter, I will be stopping at different points in my presentation and inviting you to reflect upon certain questions. When I do, you might want to pause the recording while you reflect upon your thoughts and start it again when you are ready. You might consider having something close at hand that you can use to write down your thoughts. I am inviting you to think of our time together as an online workshop. Now, I would like to introduce you to Cherry Pit number 8. Cherry Pit number 8 is, fear is our ally. Fear is our ally. I'm inviting you to get comfortable. And please close your eyes if that works for you. And I'm going to offer you some thoughts to entertain in your imagination. Please make yourself comfortable. I'm inviting you to imagine that you are sitting in your favorite spot in your home, and you're doing whatever it is that you like to do when you sit there. Asleep at your feet is your dog, whose name is Fear. Your dog Fear is sound asleep at your feet. What kind of dog is Fear? What color is she? How big is she? How old is Fear? I'm inviting you to see your dog Fear completely relaxed and sound asleep at your feet. Please continue doing whatever it is that you do when you sit in your favorite spot, knowing that Fear is completely relaxed and sound asleep at your feet. You can be fully engaged in whatever it is that you're doing without having to pay attention to what is going on around you. For your dog, Fear, is by your side. And Fear can hear, Fear can smell, and Fear can see much, much better than you will ever be able to. And if there is any change in the environment around you, Fear will hear it, Fear will smell it, and Fear will see it long before you do. Please continue doing whatever it is that you do when you're sitting in your favorite spot, knowing that Fear is at your feet. Suddenly, one of Fear's ears rises up. You notice it, and you keep doing what you're doing. Now, Fear opens her eyes, lifts her head up a little, and looks across the room towards the door, and you keep doing what you're doing. Fear raises her head higher, and you look up from whatever you're doing, and you look at Fear. And at that moment in time, Fear softly growls, stands up, the hair on the back of her neck is raised, and you are now paying full attention to Fear and to what is going on in your environment, in your surroundings. And you quietly say to Fear, "What is it, Fear? What is it?" For you know that Fear is picking up on something and responding to what may be happening somewhere around you. What you're really asking, Fear, is, what is happening, girl? What is happening, Fear, that I need to pay attention to check out, to assess whether there is something that I need to deal with? Fear now has your attention. She has alerted you to the fact that something is going on around you that you may want to check out. And if you do, Fear will go with you when you check it out. Fear is your ally and will go wherever you go. Your dog, Fear, will be by your side. Just as you're getting ready to see what has Fear's attention, she turns around a couple of times, lays back down, places her head on her paws, sighs, closes her eyes, sighs, relaxes, and slowly goes back to sleep. Whatever it was that Fear wanted you to pay attention to attend to, has now passed, and you too can now go back to whatever it is that you do when you sit in your favorite spot at home. Now I'm inviting you to slowly come back to where you are now. When you are ready, please open your eyes, and I will carry on with my exploration of Fear, our ally. Knowing that Fear, our ally, is there by our side wherever we go, creates a safe space for us to be fully engaged in whatever it is that we are doing. For we know that our ally, our watchdog, Fear, will let us know when there is something for us to pay attention to. Fear is our guard dog. Fear allows us to go about our life and our business, for we know that Fear will let us know when there is something that we need to pay attention to. In some cases, Fear will alert us to something new, something foreign, something unfamiliar, something different in our lives. As women, our dog Fear may warn us to be extra vigilant regarding our safety in our current environment. As women, we have learned to remain aware, given that we may be vulnerable to unwanted and undesired actions directed toward us, and we have learned to pay attention, and we have learned to remain vigilant on an as-needed basis. If we have experienced undesired life events at some earlier time in our lives, our dog Fear will also warn us to stay away from similar situations and environments for fear that our safety may be put at risk again. Fear is our ally. Our dog Fear is there to serve us, to protect us. Fear is meant to serve us. Fear is meant to protect us. Fear is meant to inform us about something that we may want to pay attention to. Wherever we go, Fear goes with us. She is our constant companion. For Fear is our guard dog. Fear is our ally. She watches out for us. Our dog Fear allows us to be fully engaged in whatever it is that we are doing, for we know that our watchdog Fear will let us know when there is something for us to pay attention to. I'm inviting us to entertain the thought seed that our dog Fear is our early warning system. Fear is like the alarm on our vehicles. When the alarm on our vehicle goes off, it gets our attention. We know that we want to go and check and see what's happening, to see if there is something for us to take care of. Fear is doing the same thing for us. We want a working relationship with our Fear. Our dog Fear is not meant to rule us. Some of us may have dealt with vehicle alarms that are so sensitive they go off when a motorbike goes by, and even when fireworks go off. Alarms that go off for sensitive reasons are an inconvenience, a hassle, a nuisance, and something that we want to take care of, something that we want to assess and perhaps recalibrate change the sensitivity level that the alarm is currently set at. Have you ever known a dog who barks at every little thing? People walking by, someone in the yard next door, other dogs barking, even leaves blowing from the trees in the fall. Some dogs are so vigilant and protective that they don't want us to go out of our own house. Some dogs try to stop people we want to come into our homes from coming in. Individuals whose dog fear is hypervigilant often have an impact on those of us who are around them. Sometimes their fear can seem to be contagious. I have been told that if you place two pianos in the same room, nose to nose, not touching, and hit the C note on one piano, the other piano's C note will also vibrate. It turns out that human beings seem to be vibrational too. When we are around fear, we can resonate with it. We vibrate too. Living with hypervigilant fear can have a paralyzing effect on our lives and can ripple into and have an undesired impact in our personal relationships, in our careers, and in how we interact with the outside world. My thought is, and what I am advocating, is that when we find ourselves living with hypervigilant fear, that this is a good time to seek out a counselor who will assist us in learning how to manage our dog fear. And just so you know, our dog fear, well, she wants to be managed. She wants us to be in charge. She wants to serve us and to protect us. She does not want to rule us and take over our lives. That is not her role. Her role is to be our ally. Her role is to look out for us. There is a reason that folks say, feel the fear and do it anyway. Fear lets us know what to pay attention to and what not to pay attention to while we go about doing what we do and accomplishing what we desire in our lives, in our careers, and in our businesses. Our dog fear is our constant companion and goes wherever we go. When we experience fear as our ally, we create space within ourselves where we can actually think more critically during those moments when our dog fear is alerting us to pay attention. Once we understand the purpose of our fear, we can begin to forge and strengthen our working relationship with our ally, fear. Our dog fear travels with us wherever we go. My thought is that we want fear to be by our side, watching out for us. For some of us, though, it is our reaction to feeling fear that is what requires our attention. It is our relationship with the feeling of fear that requires our attention. It is what we do and do not do when we feel fear that requires our attention. Our fear of feeling fear is often what panics us. Something similar happens when we experience what is called an anxiety attack. The feelings of anxiety in our body are so overwhelming for some of us that long after those feelings have passed, we are still full of fear that those feelings will happen again. It is often our fear of those feelings happening again that begins to drive our behavior. In Chapter 2, when I explored cherry pit number 2, which is, we are all going to drop the ball and make mistakes, I reflected upon how for some of us, our GPS for life are programmed in such a manner that the very thought of making a mistake, the very thought of looking foolish and possibly embarrassing ourselves is something that we cannot let happen, which makes it really challenging to step into the learner role. As we now know, stepping into the learner role is a requirement for us to learn how to become our own programmers so that we can choose to update our own GPS for life to be more in alignment with who and how we choose and desire to be at this stage and time in our life's journey, given the world we are currently navigating. Those of us who discover that our fear of looking foolish impedes our ability to step into the learner role may choose to seek out a counselor with whom to do some personal work to update our GPS for life to include being able to step into the learner role when required and when chosen. I'm going to stop now and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want to remind you that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question, and to observe, reflect upon, and to entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. It's important for us to remember that we have no choice about learning, downloading, and programming what we live as we journey through our childhood. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for what has been programmed into our GPS for life. We are responsible, though, and do have a choice about what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults, which is what you are now doing by participating in Cherry Pits for Our Minds. Please ask yourself the following questions. Question number one. What kind of dog is your fear? Question number two. What kind of relationship do you currently have with your ally, with your dog fear? Question number three. What kind of relationship do you desire with your ally, with your dog fear? And question number four, I'm inviting you in your imagination to see yourself and your dog fear being together in your chosen and desired relationship. I have spent the last 30 plus years listening and talking to women and men as their counselor, coach, and workshop facilitator. As time passed, I began to notice themes emerging in conversational journeys with women. One of the themes that emerged is that within each of us women is a deep, abiding fear, a deep, abiding thought process that goes something like this. I am the only one who feels this way. I am the only one who thinks this way. I am the only one who acts this way. And if anyone else knows this about me, if anyone else sees this in me, they will not respect me, they will not like me, and they will reject me. What I have learned is that when a woman thinks to herself, I'm the only one, then that generally, not always, means one thing. There's something wrong with me. And when we think that there is something wrong with us, that thought leads to certain kinds of thoughts, certain kinds of feelings, and certain kinds of behaviors, which results in our trying to hide and disguise what we believe is wrong with us. At our very core, most women have deep abiding fears that there is something wrong with us, that we are not good enough, that we are not pretty enough, that we are not smart enough, that we are not strong enough, and we are not capable enough, that we are not competent enough. Do you hear that word, enough? These deep abiding fears generally have something to do with our not being enough of something, with our being inadequate in some way, shape, and form. We women have deep abiding fears that in some way we're not okay. That in some way, we're not enough, and that in other ways, we are too much of something. And we women work really, really hard to try and hide these deep abiding fears, to try and disguise these deep abiding fears. And our deepest fear is that it might be true. Our deepest fear is that our deep abiding fears might be true, that there really is something wrong with us. And an even more frightening fear is that there is nothing we can do about what is wrong with us, except do everything we can to hide what we believe is wrong with us, to try to disguise what we believe is wrong with us. Now I ask you, how sad is that? How sad is it that all of us incredible, inspiring women, all of us smart, loving, strong, caring, nurturing, competent, capable, beautiful women, full of creative, vital, energetic life energy and life force, are doing everything we can to hide and disguise deep abiding fears that there is something wrong with us? What I'm inviting us to invite in for tea and entertain is the thought seed that these fears are not true. And that once we go and check out whether these fears are true, we discover that these fears are, in fact, false alarms. What a waste of time, hard work, energy, life force, and vital resources it is for us to be continually working on hiding and disguising what we fear is real. I'm inviting us to imagine what we could be doing and would be doing if we had all that time, all that hard work, all that energy, all that life force, and all those vital resources available to us to apply in other areas of our lives. Most of our fears are unexamined fears, fears that we keep hidden from others, and for some of us, from ourselves. How come? As I said earlier, our deepest fear is that our deep abiding fears are true, and who on earth would want to do all that painful work of examining those deep abiding fears only to discover that they were the truth, that they were real, and that there was something wrong with us? Just think about it. All this fear ruling our lives, whether we're aware of it or not. What have we learned so far about fear in this chapter? We have learned that fear is our ally. It is our guard dog, doing what guard dogs do when something is happening in our environment. Fear, our guard dog, is alerting us, getting our attention, so that we now know that there is something happening that we want to check out, that there is something that requires our attention. Fear is alerting us to pay attention, to assess what is happening, and based on what is happening, to assess what is working for us, what is not working for us, and what is missing from what we have learned and programmed into our GPS for life, into our operating system for life, into our cognitive closet. We are required to check out, assess, and calibrate what is fear and what is reality. We have to do that with every one of our fears, for that is what our guard dog fear is calling us to do. Fear, our guard dog, is letting us know that we do not have to be like a cork in the pond of life being blown around by the winds of fear. We have choice, and we can choose, and by choosing we empower ourselves with an outboard motor on our cork in the pond of life, and just like the winds of adversity, the winds of fear may blow us around at first, and eventually we begin to head in our own chosen direction. When our dog fear calls to us to pay attention, she is not saying that what she is alerting us to go and check out is true. She is not saying that what she is alerting us to check out is real. She is saying, check it out for ourselves. Assess for ourselves what is real, what is true, and what is illusion. Our dog fear is calling us to action. Fear is calling us to learn how to assess for ourselves and to learn how to think our own thoughts. Every time our dog Fear calls out to us to pay attention to what she is noticing, and we do, our outboard motor gains power, and when the winds of fear howl fiercely, our outboard motor allows us to continue to putt-putt-putt along, which creates choice and increases resilience for us in our lives as we navigate through our world. I'm going to stop now and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want to remind you that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question, and to observe, reflect upon, and entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. It's important for us to remember that we have no choice about learning, downloading, and programming what we live as we journey through our childhood. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for what has been programmed into our GPS for life. We are responsible, though, and do have a choice about what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults, which is what you are now doing by participating in Cherry Pits for Our Minds. Please ask yourself the following questions. Question 1. What are my deep abiding fears about myself? Question 2. What deep abiding fears do I have about myself as a woman? Question 3. Do I think that these deep abiding fears that I have about me are real? Question 4. What are my chosen thoughts and feelings that I desire to have about me? When women come together in the same room, say for an in-person workshop that I am offering, women would talk about how we check each other out, how we look each other over and think to ourselves, who is thinner? Who is prettier? Who is more successful? Who is more confident? Who is more competent? Who is more capable and therefore better than us? And these thoughts impact how we feel about ourselves. These thoughts affect how we feel about the other women in the room with us. These thoughts affect how we interact with each other and affect what we do and what we don't do. Based only on our thoughts, we may decide that the other women in the room are better than us in some way. We often look at these women and we think to ourselves something like, she's got it all together. Why don't I? Well, we all know the answer to that question, don't we? The answer, of course, is there's something wrong with me. And then, of course, there are those of us who look at the other women in the room and think, I'm better than her. I'm better than them. Those thoughts affect how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the other women, how we act towards the other women, and what we do and don't do in each other's presence. As the facilitator of workshops for women, I stand in front of the room and watch this happening right before my eyes. In fact, I experience women in the room doing the same thing to me. And as the workshop proceeds, I observe something else begin to happen. As women speak up and introduce themselves, and share how come they have chosen to participate in the workshop, the other women hear these women speak about what they think and feel on the inside. And as more women introduce themselves, the realization begins to dawn in the women in the room that we are all feeling and thinking fairly similar things, and that no woman in that room is actually better than any other woman in that room. No woman is more together. No woman is more anything than any other woman in the room. Each woman in one shape and another is living with a similar inner process about herself, that there is something wrong with her. And then there is that deepest fear of all, that we all share in one form and another, the fear that our deep abiding fears are true, and that there actually is something wrong with us. On the inside, all of us women generally are struggling with similar inner processes, all of us trying to hide and disguise to one degree and another our deep abiding fears that there is something wrong with us. Only, in this room, when we women come together for a workshop, we begin to discover how, on the outside, we may be different, while on the inside, we are more alike than we are different, and that there wasn't anything wrong with us, and how freeing and energizing it is to learn and update this knowing into our GPS for life. I'm going to stop now and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want to remind you that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question, and to observe, reflect upon, and to entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. It's important for us to remember that we have no choice about learning, downloading, and programming what we live as we journey through our childhood. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for what has been programmed into our GPS for life. We are responsible, though, and do have a choice about what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults, which is what you are now doing by participating in Cherry Pits for Our Minds. Please ask yourself the following questions. Question number one, what are my current thoughts and feelings about other women when I enter a room with other women? Question number two, what do I currently think and feel about myself when I enter a room with other women? Question number three, how do my current thoughts and feelings affect how I act and interact when in a room with other women? Question number four, what thoughts and feelings do I prefer to have when I enter a room with other women? Question number five, how will my life be different when I update my GPS for life with my chosen thoughts? Many women come into counseling with a terrible secret, that of being sexually abused as a child. Women often have remained silent about their childhood experiences all these years, for they have learned, downloaded, and programmed into their GPS for life that keeping the secret is safe and telling the truth is dangerous, since abusers often tell the children whom they are abusing some version of the following: no one will believe you. Who are they going to believe, you or me? No one will listen to you. You will get me in trouble if you tell, and I will go to jail, and it will be your fault. If you tell, I will kill your cat, your hamster, your dog, your sister, your brother, your mother. The intention of these statements is to fill the recipient, in this case a child, with the paralyzing fear of speaking the truth, thereby ensuring the child's silence, which protects the abuser while continuing to place children in harm's way. Women will remain silent for many years, for multiple decades even, vigilantly guarding their childhood secret. When is a woman most likely to break this secrecy? A woman often feels called upon to break her secrecy and speak up when she sees a child who is now at the similar age that she was when she was first sexually abused, and her abuser, who has to date been protected by her silence, has access to this vulnerable child. When a woman sees another child at risk of going through what she went through, is often when she will choose to seek out, learn, download, and program into her GPS for life what she needs to know to now have a voice, to speak up for, and to take action to protect the child who she knows is vulnerable and at risk. I have always found and continue to find this quality in women inspiring. To dig deep inside and find her voice and her strength to take action when filled with such paralyzing fear is to me a true definition of courage. Courage is often defined as feeling fear and doing it anyway, and that is what these women are doing. I now hear and see something similar happening as more and more and more women are speaking up and taking action to protect their children, their grandchildren, and the unborn children by taking a stand regarding how we are using, abusing, and wasting the essential support systems necessary for all life here on Mother Earth, our water, our fish, our soil, our forest, our air, and other life forms, which are all now being exploited by us at the expense of future generations. More and more women are answering their calling by finding their voice, speaking up, and taking action as thought leaders, stewardesses, and protectresses of our precious children and of our precious planet. Women are joining together to protect both our children and our Mother Earth from all kinds of predators. The thought seed that I am inviting you to invite in for tea and entertain is that we women were born on this earth at this time to be the thought leaders, to be the stewardesses, and to be the protectresses of our precious, beautiful children and of the mother of all mothers, our beautiful Mother Earth. This is our role and our responsibility. This is women's work. This is what women do. I'm now inviting you to reflect upon those three questions that I have invited you to reflect upon in previous chapters. Question number one. How come cherry pit number eight, fear is our ally, is important? Question number two. How come cherry pit number eight, fear is our ally, is important to me? Question number three. How come cherry pit number eight, fear is our ally, is important to women, to grandmothers, to mothers, to daughters, to sisters, to aunts? We are now at the end of Chapter 8 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, where I invited you to invite in for tea and entertain, in addition to other thoughts, number 8 of 13 hand-picked cherry pits. Cherry pit number 8 is, fear is our ally. In closing, I'm inviting you to reflect upon the thoughts that I have entertained in this chapter. First, though, I would like to remind you of the cherry pits for our minds that I have introduced you to so far. Cherry pit number one. We learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. Cherry pit number two. We are all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. Cherry pit number three. Listen to understand, not to agree and disagree. Cherry pit number four. We don't know what we don't know. Cherry pit number five. Life happens after we make our plans. Cherry pit number six. Think our own thoughts. Cherry pit number seven. Adversity is life's teacher. Cherry pit number eight. Fear is our ally. Thoughts we reflected upon and entertained during this chapter include: fear is our ally. Our dog fear is there to serve and protect us. Fear is meant to serve us, to protect us, to inform us about something that we want to pay attention to. Fear is our ally, and wherever we go, fear will be by our side. Knowing that fear, our ally, is there by our side wherever we go, creates a safe space for us to be fully engaged in whatever it is that we are doing, for we know that our ally, our watchdog, fear, will alert us when there is something for us to pay attention to. When we experience fear as our ally, we create space within ourselves where we can actually think more critically during those moments when our dog fear is alerting us to pay attention. Once we understand the purpose of our fear, we can begin to forge and strengthen our working relationship with our ally, fear. As women, our dog fear may warn us to be extra vigilant regarding our safety in our current environment. As women, we have learned to remain aware, given that we may be vulnerable to unwanted and undesired actions directed toward us. And we have learned to pay attention, and we have learned to remain vigilant on an as-needed basis. We want a working relationship with our fear. Our fear is not meant to rule us. Each time we attend to what our dog fear calls us to attend to, our outboard motor on our cork in the pond of life gains power, which creates choice and increases resilience in our lives. Even when the winds of fear howl fiercely, our outboard motor allows us to continue putting along in our chosen direction. At our very core, most women have a deep abiding fear that there is something wrong with us, that we are not good enough, that we are not pretty enough, that we are not smart enough, that we are not strong enough, that we are not capable enough, that we are not competent enough. When a woman thinks to herself, "I'm the only one," that generally, not always, means one thing. There is something wrong with me. When we think that there is something wrong with us, we entertain certain kinds of thoughts, certain kinds of feelings, and certain kinds of behaviors, which results in our trying to hide and disguise what we believe is wrong with us. What an incredible waste of time, hard work, life energy, and vital resources it is for us to be continually working on hiding and disguising what we fear is real. Imagine what we could and would be doing if we were not trying to hide and disguise what we fear about ourselves. When women come together in the same room, we check each other out and think thoughts such as who is thinner, who is prettier, who is more successful, who is more confident, who is more competent, and who is more capable. These thoughts impact how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about other women in the room, and how we interact with each other, and what we do and won't do. More and more women are finding our voices, speaking up, and taking action as thought leaders, as stewardesses, and as protectresses of the children and our precious planet. Women are joining together to protect our children from predators, and Mother Earth, our planet, from predators. The thought seed that I am inviting us to invite in for tea and entertain is that we women were born on this earth at this time to be the thought leaders, the stewardesses, and the protectresses of our precious, beautiful children and of the mother of all mothers, our beautiful Mother Earth. This is our role and our responsibility. This is women's work. This is what women do. I'm inviting you to invite these thoughts in for tea and to entertain these thoughts, as you would a guest, knowing that these thoughts will leave, as all guests eventually do, and perhaps you might reflect upon these thoughts. Perhaps you might entertain these thoughts for yourself so that you can assess for yourself whether or not these thoughts resonate for you, whether or not these thoughts fit for you, whether or not these thoughts work for who and where you are at this time in your life's journey. Given who you choose to be, and given who you were born to be here on this earth at this time. And if these thoughts do resonate for you, if these thoughts do fit for you, if these thoughts do work for you, then perhaps you might consider asking them to stay. I thank you for joining with me as I reflect upon these hand-picked cherry pits for our minds. Goodbye for now.